fresh air interview.
And we are now joined by Operation Adama. How are you two guys?
Good, man. How you guys doing?
Great.
I've been better.
OJ in hand. Dark circles.
It's not helping. Like everyone. So if you guys would just like to go through your names and what you do for the show and something about yourself, let's get that in between.
Who are we starting with?
Oh, sorry. I'm Seth. I'm the piano player.
My name is Michael Mackenzie Wills. I wrote it and I've directed it.
My name is Adamo Guidarelli. I am the Clown Prince of Opera. Mike wrote the show for me, so it's been a lot of fun.
And I'm Miss Ruby, the assistant.
Brilliant. And what is your show? Because to bring opera up for the festival, you must have to have like a different twist on opera or something.
Are you saying we're daft?
No.
You wouldn't say that. Think it, yes. But,
you outnumber me, that's fine.
Yeah. No, we're just showing the parallels between pop music and opera. Because a lot of opera things are around us every day, and we don't know it. So we sing the opera aria and then the pop song that was created from it.
What was the pop song created from aria?
Oh, there's hundreds.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now or Never?
Yeah, Elvis, It's Now or Never.
If you've heard Kill the Wabbit, Kill the Wabbit, that whole section.
Have you? There's a lot of cartoons. A lot of commercials in the U.S. with opera themes.
We've been told that you guys had a Cornetto commercial.
Yes, we did. That. Just one Cornetto.
Yeah. There you go. See, everybody knows it.
See,
we had the Pag, you know, we had, go ahead.
Pagliacci.
It was a Rice Krispies commercial, so.
In
no more Rice Krispies. We are out of Rice Krispies.
Yeah. So we do it in garb, and, you know, I have the whole clown costume and the Rice Krispies thing and show. And, you know, my tears will never stop until I hear snap, crackle, pop. So it's just, you know, you guys heard it all day, too, and sometimes you just don't realize where it's come from.
So we weave it all together.
So have you brought the show just for the festival, or have you been traveling with it, or...?
Oh, it's been around for a while. I mean, it started in Darien.
Darien
Arts Center, and then it went off Broadway at the York Theater, and it went to Vegas.
And Rome, Italy.
And now we're here at the festival.
So you say you brought that this to Rome. How was it received in Rome?
It was cool. They really liked it.
Oh, they loved it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They enjoyed all the parallels. Because they know a lot of the Italian art songs. Like, say, like, the mattinata, which is like, l'aurora di bianca vestita, is, you're breaking my heart, because you're leaving. It's like a famous crooner song.
Yeah.
And they love the fact that, you know, first of all, that Americans ripped off an Italian song. You know, they love that, the Italians. But, yeah, they really enjoyed themselves.
It's also in Italy, they understand opera a little more than...
Americans. Than Scotland. Yeah.
Scotland, but in America, as, what do we say in the show? The majority of Americans learned everything they know about opera from Bugs Bunny. So that's the starting point.
How have the Scottish audiences been reacting to the opera so far?
Really well. I thought they understood it much more than the Americans.
They ask for an encore every night. So
yeah, they do.
They seem to really
cheer and bravo and the whole.
Oh, but before we keep chatting, do you want to plug your show? Where is it? What? Let's get this out of the way.
It's at the Newtown Theater, which is 96 George Street, and it's at 17:30. Or 5:30 for those of you who are
John
Mariner.
We also have a Facebook page that we're trying to get 1,000 likes before we leave Edinburgh. So Google Facebook/ Operation Adamo and like us on Facebook.
Fresh.
So does your show have a narrative, or is there like links between the songs?
There are links between the songs. It's the pop culture loves to rape and pillage opera is essentially the theme of the show, and Adamo does narrate as he goes along and sings the song to demonstrate the connections. It's a bit like a musical piece, and there's a bit of burlesque in it to keep everyone interested. I used to call it opera for men. For anyone's husband that got dragged to see the show, we kind of try to entertain them too.
Oh, brilliant.
With Miss Ruby.
So So, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for those of you are watching on the webcam, you can see the full regalia that Operation Adelmo have come into it today. It's a very good effort for the radio, I have to say.
Did you know there was cameras? Or
No, we did not.
Oh, wow.
We just thought it would inspire conversation.
Yes. It certainly would. Did you choose the costumes yourself, or was these all your choice? Are they very much based around the character?
It was my choice, but it was based on our graphic. We hired a graphic artist out in San Diego, California, to create the graphic for the show, and when it came back, it was red and yellow. So we chose those colors. Everything in the show is red and yellow. It's quite bright and colorful.
There's lots of costume changes and multiple hand props and instruments.
Yes, one review said more costume changes than Laskawa. So
really,
there are a lot of costume changes for a one-man show.
How do you fit that in an hour?
It goes on right in front of the audience. We change
so
right
in
there
front,
the while he's singing.
He'd be dressing me as I'm doing the narrative.
He sings and dresses
intros for the next pieces.
Yeah. The beauty of having a personal assistant, you never have to change your own clothes. She does it for you.
Why don't you do that for me, Marcus?
Well, I mean, I could, but again, it's on the radio, so...
For the webcam benefits.
Yeah, just for the webcam viewers there.
So do you find that some people go there and they have... Do you find that some songs are received better than others, like ones which obviously have a backing in adverts or like pop culture? These songs receive better than if you just do traditional opera.
We do a Gilbert and Sullivan version of Baby Got Back, which
wow.
Is very well received by the younger audiences.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
And the older people who aren't familiar, they're like, but they're laughing because of the garb that I'm in. And now,
yes.
You know, slapping the big them, and they're like, woohoo.
Is this your first Fringe, or have you been here before? And
this is my sixth, but this is the first for everyone else. And but we did do the New York Fringe.
The New York Fringe?
Yes.
How does Scotland's Fringe compare to the New York Fringe?
Well, there's nothing better than the Edinburgh Fringe. I mean, it's the granddaddy of them all, right?
Yeah.
The New York Fringe is like a minnow in the...
It was the first, and it is still the best. So.
And in the New York Fringe, we did 5 shows over a month.
Yeah.
Here we're doing 24 shows in 25 days.
Wow.
So way different.
How are you finding the workload so far, nearing the end of the festival now?
Well, we're in a routine.
It's great for him.
It's good
I mean,
now.
He's being very cloistered. He has to stay at home all
day.
They locked
me in my room and like
he can't drink.
Can't drink.
He's
can't
an opera. Drink in Scotland.
Sucks,
he's
man,
a
right?
He's an opera singer. He has to conserve his voice, you know.
And obviously there is not pressure. But every day I go out there on stage, I have to step up.
Yeah,
you know, everything's got to be in line, and it's got to be good. I got to leave the stage knowing, hey, I did a good job today. Not, shit, I had 3 beers last night, I sound like shit today. You know,
yeah.
That just can't happen.
Honestly, before we left here, the person he works with at the Met in New York said it was going to be vocal suicide.
That's what he told me. Thanks, teacher.
Yeah, that was very encouraging.
There's a vote of confidence.
But it hasn't been, so.
I'll see in September when your voice is really shitty and I have to rebuild it all.
And have you had a chance to catch any other shows while you've been over?
We see the shows at our own venue.
Uh-huh.
And this is the easiest.
any particular favourites out of those?
Do you have a favourite? Pip Utton, is that how you say
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
Pip Utton.
Pip
Utton is, do you know who he is?
Yeah.
We saw him do Dickens, and he's doing The Hunchback, and he's just such a good actor. It's just brilliant to watch him.
Yeah, Liz Merendino, Sneasons of Liz was really good. We saw that. Mm-hmm. Cock and Bull Story.
It's excellent. Yeah.
Voices was really good at our venue. Yeah, it's a really
so
nice.
So we have really great high-end things at our venue, which is wonderful.
We even got uptown one night to watch some comedy at the Caves.
Oh, my friend Paul Provenza is doing set list over at the Caves.
Set list is incredible.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
I've known him for years, you know, we're just old buddies, and I had to see what he was doing. And it's like watching a tightrope act. It's amazing. It's kind of scary and funny all at the same time.
The train wreck syndrome that people love.
I was just watching that just in case they make a mistake. But it's brilliant to get down the set list. So have you guys, obviously you've done opera before.
Uh-huh.
Have you performed a traveling tour before?
Yeah, I've been very blessed. I've been singing opera for about 20 years now. I've sung in about 18 different countries around the world. And from Italy to Austria to Germany, France, Spain, the U.S., all over the U.S. It's been great.
How did you get started?
Well, strangely enough, when I was in high school, I was in a metal band. I was singing Metallica, Maiden, Priest, Slayer, all that stuff, and then started taking voice lessons, and the teacher, you know, I had the long hair, the earrings.
Big metal hair.
My teacher said, oh, I hear an operatic quality in your voice, and I was like, I want to be a rock star, man. That would be crazy. But then my band started writing, like, really, like, death metal stuff.
Like, it's like screaming, destroying
like,
voice.
Rah, stuff, and I was like, you know what, guys, I think I'm going to try this route, you know. And then my teacher sat me down and played me all these great singers that were, and she's like, you know what's really cool about these guys that aren't cool about metal singers? I'm like, what? She's like, they sing without a mic over an 80-piece orchestra. And I was like, yeah, man, that's ballsy. That's cool. You know, let me try that. So here I am 20 years later, and got my start early on Pavarotti. I was a finalist in the Pavarotti competition in the U.S. Yep. Early on, 10 of us. And he put his stamp of approval on a bunch of us and just sort of sent us out into the world. And so it began. It was really cool.
No, that's good.
Really lucky.
And did you, Mr. Ruby, did you start in opera or did you start something else and move on?
I started in stage acting, actually. I thought I wanted to be a classical actor and do a lot of Greek and Shakespeare. And now I've ended up being a personal assistant in sequins. So
same thing.
Fresh.
My history? I worked for a great number of years with Penn & Teller. And then I moved on to working with Blue Man Group for a long time, and then I spent like 7 years working at MTV, creating shows and doing documentaries, you know, like before they were rock stars and all that kind of stuff. I know way too much about too many current pop stars.
How was it working with Penn & Teller? Because obviously they were quite high maintenance, were they?
No, not at all. Well, I've known Penn for like 30 years, and no, they're not high maintenance at all. They both are really smart and really intelligent and know what they're doing, and they get the job done as efficiently as possible. You know, you just really have to be on board with them and not be a slacker, you know.
Yeah.
That's all. But they're not difficult at all or high maintenance. The Blue Man Group, on the other hand, I shouldn't say that, but anyway, they are more so. But
really, they have more of an ego.
You wouldn't
than
think that, would you?
Penn & Teller.
No, no. You know, it was Penn that told them that they could actually have hundreds of companies all over the world. It had never occurred to them before because there's an ego about doing your own material that you've written. No one else could do it.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "You're lucky. You know, you're not like us. You know, we have to do it because they recognize our faces, but nobody recognizes you guys. You can open them everywhere." It's the first time it ever occurred to them. So that's kind of. That's yeah.
That's how billion industry was born.
Then I was there to help them open the first show in Boston. It worked, and from there it just spread across the.
Is there a lot of moderation between who gets, like, do they judge who gets to go into different Blue Man groups? Or
no. You mean the audition process for a Blue Man? It's
yep.
very long and difficult, yes. They're very picky about who they, you know, who they get. And that's also has a lot to do with not only talent, but personality.
Yep.
It's hard to become a Blue Man. You have to really be good.
It never really came over here.
It hasn't?
Edinburgh. I think there's one in London. Is it Blue Man Group?
Yeah, it's in London.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But,
yeah. It's kind of a guaranteed sold out moneymaker, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Why do a fringe, right?
So how did you move from the Blue Man Group to opera?
No, it was 7 years at MTV after that. Working with pop singers.
It's more egos.
I had a friend of a friend who knew Adelmo, who asked me to come and see his salon that he was doing because he was looking to do a one-man show. And I had directed many, many shows in New York. And I went to see it. And it was really awful. I mean, it was just horrible. It was just one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
And what was the show?
It was just him singing, presenting music, you know, songs and stuff. And it was just.
I had mutton chops.
It was terrible. He had
shirt open with chest hair.
He had no stage presence. He couldn't stand. stand still. He was wandering about. It was just
it was just
a mess. And I said that it's dreadful. It's awful. And apparently, a lot of people had been invited to the salon to actually consider doing this show. And I was the only one that said it was terrible because and how bad it was and why it was bad. And so suddenly, I became the most interesting person in the room.
Right. And it's like, oh yeah. what do you think I suck about me? How
can we fix it? And right. That's how I got sucked into it. And it was great. It was great because I was raised with classical music and I hadn't been around it in a very, very long time because of MTV. And I was more than happy to jump right in and give all my knowledge towards what I know about this and create this show that is now Operation Adelmo.
It's great.
And how are the crowds over here? Is it selling quite well? Have you got quite a few?
We have very appreciative audiences. They seem to really, really love it. And
they're sending their friends.
The ovation at the end is amazing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They stand. They demand more. We give them an encore. It's pretty amazing and remarkable.
You sound like the only group that are really doing this over here, because the problem with Fringe is there's so many stand-up comedians, sketch shows, observational comedians, stuff like that. There's so many of them that they get tarred with the same brush kind of thing. Whereas you guys seem to be doing something completely different, which is really good.
Yeah, we looked up a whole bunch of stuff in the guide, and you're right. There isn't anything going on like us, so we're lucky that way too. I mean, you know, only one fish in a big pond is pretty good for the material, you know. So
right.
We like to ask people for an inside tip to survive the festival. You've been here now 22 days, 20 days?
Since the second, yeah. So,
you got any tips to how to survive? Maybe keep your voice and keep your brain as well. That's one of those. But an inside track.
Well, Adelmo's only tip would be never leave his
never
flat.
Leave flat.
You know, and don't drink.
And start your day with Crombie's sausage.
Yes, and conserve your...
Crombie's, man. Good morning, I'm going to miss Crombie's.
We live a half a block from Crombie's.
Yes. Oh, wow.
He's made great friends with
yes.
the butcher.
No discount yet.
Yeah. Every Monday and Tuesday.
Every Monday and Tuesday, that's right.
Yeah.
So how about the rest of you guys? You got any tips?
Wear comfortable shoes.
Yes, try to conserve your energy.
Are you wearing comfortable shoes right now?
No.
I am not. Let's just go with the sequence.
And watch out for texting fringers with their heads down.
Yeah, try not to stay up too late.
I think there's a new law in New York where you can actually plow them.
Don't stay up until 5
and be
up. If they're doing this, it's like, I think Bloomberg just passed, the mayor of New York passed their law. Roadkill.
No, well, that's great. Well, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Do you want to plug your show one more time?
Sure, say it.
Operation Adelmo at the Newtown Theater, 5:30 or 17:30 every evening until the 28th. And like us on Facebook, Operation Adelmo on Facebook, going for 1,000 likes.
Yes.
OperationAdelmo.com.
Fresh.
We're actually privileged. We're going to be, how do we say?
Having a special
serenade
in the
studio. Serenade this morning.
Don't get wet, girls.
That tickled Catherine, that one. What are you going to sing for us this morning?
I'll do a little bit of El Sole Mio that you guys had for the Cornetto commercial.
Yeah.
I think. And I'll go into a little pop thing. L'aria serena dopo una tempesta. Ma tu sole, più bella re, o sole mio, sta la fronte a te, o sole mio, sta la fronte a te, sta la fronte a te.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
So that was the El Sole Mio, and then in the show we do some poppy stuff. and I come out with a uke and my kazoo that's not with me.
Oh. And I'm like most opera singers.
Here comes the director.
Yeah, it's just, I have a kazoo with me.
We've got a kazoo. Yeah. Would you like a kazoo? Oh, there we go.
Most opera singers, when they sing pop songs, sing in their opera voice, but Adelmo is very different. He just uses a pop voice and, you know, throws the opera away.
That was my metal upbringing. Yeah,
just scream it.
Metal. Oh, how I miss you tonight. You can hold that for me, assistant. I miss you with lights alone. Oh, how I need you tonight, more than you'll ever know. Each moment that we're apart, you're never out of my heart. But I'd rather be lonely and wait for you only, my dear. How I miss you tonight.
Absolutely brilliant.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for letting me do that.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Freshair.org.uk presents Producing Fresh Fringe 2011.
Broadcasting 24 hours a day
throughout the festival. Music, features, reviews, interviews. Freshair.org.uk presents Fresh Fringe 2011.